Praise the Lord. Isn't God wonderful? We're in the house of God this morning. David said, I was glad when he said to me, let us go into the house of the house of who? The house of who? Come on, we're in the Lord's house, amen? And in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. You know, I want to tell you this morning, there are folks that work in church and there are folks that come to worship. I want to tell you, workers, don't let the work steal your joy. Amen? Don't ever get tired. You know, sometimes our bodies get tired, but the Bible says when the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed. Amen? And we work from a place of inner strength. Where do we work from? Inner strength. And who gives us strength? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So even sometimes you feel a little bogged down, you feel a little tired. You know what? Just say, God, just renew my strength. Renew my joy. Renew my peace. For all those who are visiting, welcome. Amen. Give the Lord a hand for all the visitors this morning. Amen. It's a good day, and it's a good day to be in church. All right, let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 13 whilst they're setting up. Yeah, let's just spread them out on the stage here for me. Amen. John chapter 13, we need to put them in a straight line. And we're reading from verse 14, John 13 to 14. Amen. Let's all stand as we look into the Word of God. We're starting a new series today, and it's a series on servanthood. Amen. On servanthood. And we know the chief servant is Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. John 13, 14 to 15. If I then, your Lord, your who? Lord. Is Jesus your Lord?
Yes.
Amen. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you'll take your word and you would speak to us in ways that we've never heard you. Speak to us, oh God, in a fresh and inspiring way. Mighty God, we just look to you and we just want to be more like you in every way possible. I pray, God, that you, Holy Spirit, would minister to our hearts, change our mindsets, that we will have the mind of the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I need four volunteers. Amen. Four volunteers. Just step right up. You know, in this picture, it's a very humbling act that we saw our Lord did. Amen? Yes. Four, just walk up and have a seat on the top. Amen? All right, we're going to spread them out. Let's give them space. That way they get enough oxygen. You know? Got it. Good. Good enough. Right. Praise the Lord. Let's get the cloths. Give me four white cloths or maybe three. Right. We're good. Amen. Amen. Right. Praise God. So in this picture here, this today, and you know this feels good because I'm not preaching alone. If I don't make it, you'll have to take the mic and then preach. Is that okay? Yeah, you're good with that? All right, that's what I'm talking about. We need folks to help. The Bible says, bury one another's burden. Amen? And what does that do? It shows that we are children of God if we bear each other's. Just leave it right. Yeah, leave it right here for me. That's good enough. Thank you. Amen. All right, so we're starting this series on servanthood. And here we have a picture, oh my God, of our Lord being so much of a servant. That he took time. We know Jesus is miracle worker. We know Jesus is provider. Because what? He fed 5,000. He fed the multitudes. He healed the brokenhearted. Those that were broken in spirit, he was compassionate towards them. Amen? So our Lord is a servant. Jesus is a servant. And also, let's turn our Bibles over to Genesis chapter 37. And servanthood is all through the Bible. All through the Bible, you look, God has called us to be servants. You would hear Paul says that, I am a servant of God. Paul, an apostle of God, is servant of God. Amen? And we strive to be servants. How many of you have said, Lord, make me your servant? Yeah. We're like, Lord, I want to be a servant. And I want to be the best servant there is. Let me see who's striving to be the best servant. Yeah, we want to be the best servant. And if you look over, we're going to pull some lessons from the life of Joseph, because we know Joseph is a servant. And you would see there, his father said to him, I want you, Joseph, to take some food for your brothers. In that scripture. And let's go. It says, now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. Let's go, continue. And Joseph being what? How old was he? How much? He was a young guy, right? Was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bihad, that's, you know, his stepbrothers, right? And let's continue. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now, he's already going up the wrong tree. Keep going, guys. He's already doing the wrong thing. He's looking for trouble. But if you're doing the wrong thing and daddy needs to know, what's the right thing to do? Tell daddy, right? Because if they're going to mess up the sheep, if they're not going to give the sheep the right grass, all daddy's flock is going to die. Who's going to go hungry? Joseph, right? So guess what he did? He told daddy that these boys are probably fighting with the other shepherds. Because we know these guys were dangerous. Don't mess with them. If you know the story, when their sister got raped, what did they do? Kill the entire city. So these guys were tough, tough men. Now, Joseph, though, we see Joseph, even in that area, he served his father. Even when daddy needed to know something, he let him know it. Amen? Sometimes we withhold information because we don't want to look bad. But sometimes you got to take the brunt. You got to take the brunt of the sword just because you say something. And even in those instances, we need not be afraid. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. God has given us a powerful spirit, right? Now let's continue. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Let's run through here. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably of him. Now we see so much animosity in families, and this happens. Now, if we have servant's heart, we will not even entertain these thoughts. Amen? We will not entertain them. Even if one child is favored more than the other, it's not our place to go picking on them. As servants of God, that is not our calling. We're not to bicker. We're not to pick. We want to find that scripture where his father asked him to take a lunch for them. Let's get to that. Amen? Move to that verse. Amen. So now you'll go down in that same chapter and you'll see where his father asked him to go take meal for his brothers, take lunch. Now, when you read it, you would see that Joseph did not even give a rebuttal. In scripture, we saw him speak. We know he wasn't dumb, right? Joseph was not dumb. He was able to speak. But his father said to him, Joseph, your brothers are out in the field. Take a lunch for them. As servants, we must have a willing spirit. What kind of a spirit? We want to speak of willingness this morning. One of the points I want to hit home to you is the point of willingness. Servants are willing. When his father said, Joseph, take lunch for your brothers, in an instant, he got up and he went. If we're going to be servants, the word of God says in Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you're what? Willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. We cannot only be obedient, but we have to be willing. There is nothing like a willing person. You know, you have children, And sometimes some are more willing than the others. Anybody know about that? Let me see those who have kids here. If you have more than one child, you would know what I'm talking about. There's some kids, you say, can you bring me a cup of tea? And they're gone. And then there's the other child where you got to say, can you bring me a cup of tea 6 times? Making you look all greedy. No, but as children of God, we ought to be willing. Servants are willing. Can somebody tell your neighbor that? Servants are willing. Now, the opposite of willingness is reluctance. Now, the other child is going to go bring you the tea, but you could see the reluctance in them. And sometimes, based on their attitude, you can't even enjoy the tea. Right? And then parents will say things like, I should have just went myself. Anybody, your parent ever told you that? Yes, right. But as servants of God, we have to have a willing heart, because we see here, willingness and obedience go hand in hand. Do you think Jesus was reluctant to wash feet? No. He went, no one asked him to wash their feet. No one demanded of him to take off their shoes and wash their fuming feet. You know, sometimes when you take out, some people take out their shoes, it's very uncomfortable. Because you want to run. Right? So if I should take off my shoes in here, there might be a problem. But yeah, we cannot serve from a place of reluctancy. We must serve with a willing heart. You know, yesterday I just want to share this example of willingness and servanthood in this house. So we had planned to come to church yesterday to do some work at 11. Now, one brother just happened to not be in the group chat. So I got a call around 1, and he's or like 12:30. He's like, Pastor, where are you? Mind you, by this point, we canceled. We said, you know what? Everyone worked hard last week. We're going to just stay home, because we had to put these chairs together. We got a shipment of chairs, and we wanted to put the chairs together. We want to finish the doors. Some of the doors weren't on as yet. We want to put on the main door and the doors in the back. So, but then I said, you know what? Let everyone just stay home. We'll get it done through the week. But at around 12-something, I got a call. Pastor, where are you? Now, what I had to do, because this man, normally he's off that day, he would rest. Or he go do side jobs, but he took time to come to church. I had to leave Long Island and rush to church because of his willingness. Yeah. Willingness to serve. Willingness to give of his time. Willingness to give of his energy. Now, we got here, we were able to do all the work we wanted to do. Amen? Because of one man's willingness. We would have had to put the work back to another day. Amen? So Joseph was the same way. When his father said, Joseph, go see your brothers. Go give them something to eat. The Bible does not record any reluctancy. He was not reluctant in that moment. So servants are not reluctant. Servants are willing. Amen? Willing. When you're serving from a place of reluctance, guess what happened? Your attitude is poor. Even in our giving, the Word of God says, when you give someone, when you give to the Lord cheerfully. Give to the Lord from a place of freeness. When you're going to do something for someone, you're going to give someone a cup of water, don't go like, You know, say, here you go. You know, it makes the person enjoy what it is you're doing even more. You're going to go visit someone, don't go visiting them out of, oh God, not them again. We got to have a servant's heart and have the right attitude. Don't be grudging. Don't give. The Bible said give cheerfully. Don't give grudgingly. It's the same principle. Servants give freely. How do we give? And willingly. We got to obey God, and our attitudes have to be right. The Bible says, our man looks at the outside, God sees the heart. We can show up in church and we can do all the work in the house, but yet there's no joy in the inside. God does not bless that work. You can come and sweat, and you can come here from 9, in the morning till 4, or you can come whenever we're doing work, but you come with the wrong attitude, God doesn't even see it. He cancels it out. So as servants of God, we have to have the right perspective. Our perspective have to be right. If we're willing and obedient, it's not just obedient. We have to be willing, church. When it comes to the work of God, we have to be willing. We have to give it our all. We have to come with wholeheartedness. We cannot come with reluctance. We cannot come half-hearted, because God is looking for true worshipers. True worshipers are willing people. And everything that we do, the way we live our lives, is worship to God. We don't only come on Sundays to worship God. We worship God all through the week. Whatever we do, when you go to your work, go willingly. If you don't like the job, pray for another job. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given. But as long as you're going to the people's work, show up properly. Give it your all. Don't give 50% and say, oh, I'll keep this 50% for when I go to my next job. You may not even get there. We gotta be willing. Jesus was willing to cleanse the leper. Matthew 8, 2 to 3. The leper came to Jesus. He said, Master, if you're willing. Jesus said, boy, you don't even know how willing I am. Because I don't want to see you here. I don't want to see you in sickness. You are not created for this. You were created to live healthy life. You were created, and I am come that you might have life. And not only physical life, but I want to give you the abundant life. God has called us for more, but we got to be willing to receive it. The word of God says we must have open hearts. We must have open ears. We must cry unto God for what he has for us. The Bible says, ask and shall be given. Seek after it. Go after it with a willing spirit. You see, sometimes even with our worship, we're so reluctant with our worship. We come to church and we look around, we're like, they're not singing good. I ain't worshiping today. We come to church, we're like, oh, I'm listening to that keyboard. She's not playing right. And we're waiting for everything to be suitable for us to worship. Can I tell you that that will never happen? Because you know what? Just as imperfect as I am, it's the imperfect people up here. Just as imperfect as you are, these imperfect people up here. So we have to have a willing spirit. Jesus was willing to heal a man. He didn't question him and put him through a long list. No, the man needed healing right away. He jumped into it. If you see somebody falling, you're walking on the street and you see someone fall, someone trip, we got to be willing to be a servant in that moment and pick them up. You know someone is hungry, feed them. You know someone needs a shoe, you got to give one to them. You know that somebody's going through financial struggles, be willing in that moment and reach out. You know someone needs a job and you know there's a job opening. What do? Tell them about it. You know someone needs an apartment. You know, be willing, be willing, be willing, be willing. And it's the same way when we serve in the house of God, we have to do it from a place of willingness. We cannot just be obedient, church. Sometimes we press obedience, but we forget the willing part. It goes together. Willingness and obedience go hand in hand. Because motives are important. Motives are important. Jesus was willing, forsaking all the shame, forsaking all the pain. He was willing to go to the cross. Jesus was not forced by the Father to go to the cross. No, he went there willingly. We have to be a willing people in anything, everything that we do. Let us be willing. Speak to your will, and if you have a problem, speak to your will. Put down your will and say, God, give me your mind. Sometimes we have stubborn dispositions. We're just stubborn. We're just stubborn. And sometimes we say things like, I can't change. You're not speaking hope into yourself. You say that, oh, my mom was like this, and my dad, oh, I took after my dad. My dad was a terrible guy, and so am I. No, we have to institute better qualities and better expectations for our life and move ahead of the past. So the past, not because the past was bad, that means we got to be tied to it. Not because your family was broken, that means you got to be broken. Not because your mom was broken or your sisters are broken, that means you got to be broken. No, we got to change. We got to take a shift. We got to believe God for better. But it takes a willing heart and it takes obedience. It goes hand in hand. So remember this, servants are? No, we know some willing folks. Very willing, but yet grudging. You know something? You have the willing grudging? Ananias and Sapphira. When they heard everybody was giving, the church was growing, the church was birthed. In the book of Acts chapter 5, read verse 1 to 5, you will see there. The church was growing just like Faith Church. You know, we just moved from one space, we're in a bigger space now. We have different kinds of lights that we didn't have, so everybody's coming apart and giving. So Ananias and Sapphira said, you know what, we want to be a part. So we're going to go sell this piece of land that we have, and we're going to give it to the church. So they went to the apostles, and they said, listen, apostles, we're going to sell this land, and we're going to bring the money, and we're going to give it to the church so the people can be fed, so that we can get proper chairs to sit on, so we could have the proper lighting, so we could have the camera to stream. We want to be a part. So they went and they sold the land and they came back and they brought the money and they said, here you go, this is the money from the land we sold. They were willing but yet grudging. That's what the Bible said, don't give grudgingly. Don't try to withhold what you said you were going to give. You must fulfill your promise. So now they walked up and in that moment the Holy Spirit quickened the disciple and said, this is not what they sold the land for. Willing but yet grudging. We got to watch our willingness and make sure it is pure. Make sure our words, whatever we say, that's what we stand by. Amen? You know what the disciple said? He said it was your land. You did not have to give it. And this is one thing we must remember in church. You don't have to do it. You don't have to give. But if you want the blessing, you must give. If you want the favor, you must give. Because the Bible says, how does God bless us? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure. But they went and they came back with a grudging spirit. They put the amount of money. They said, this is what we sold it for. The Spirit of God said, they're lying. And the disciples said to them, you did not lie to man, but you lied to the Spirit of God. And this is one thing we must be conscious with. You see, when you're trying to sneak around the pastor with lies, I know when people lie to me, you know. I know when people try to twist the truth. You know, you're trying to give an honest, dishonest answer. Just say, you know what, I can't come. I may not like it. Or you got invited for, you got invited to an occasion. And when the person says, are you coming? You're like, no, I got to work today. You know you're not working. Or you go, you know, I may have to go into work, but you know you're not getting no call. And even if you get the call, you're going to tell them no. But it's just that you just don't want to go. You can't stand those people and you don't want to be around them. It's okay. It's okay. Just willingly say, I'm not coming. And what? Guess what's going to happen? They might be crushed for the moment. But you told them the truth. You speak the truth and the truth makes you free. Now, if you can lie and it don't bother you, something is wrong with you as well. You know, there's some people like that. They lie and they can trick you and they feel so good that they got over you. Yeah, we got to watch your spirit. So, in their willingness, they were still grudging. We got to weed that out. We got to weed that out. Ananias and Sapphira could have stayed alive. They could have remained alive to see the progress of the church. But because they lied to the Holy Spirit, boom, both of them died. So church, we have to be a willing church. We have to be willing to witness. We have to be willing to share the gospel. We have to be willing to tell people about the goodness of God. We have to be willing to even share our weaknesses. Sometimes we're so willing to share strengths. Servants share in both areas. Paul says, I know to abound and I know to be abased. I know when it's good and everything is going right, and I know when to celebrate, but there's also times when things are low. That's why the Bible says, bury one another's burden. Don't always be willing to party with people, and when they're mourning, you're not there. Don't always be willing to be on the mountaintop with your friends, and when they're in the valley, you kick them to the curb. No, we have to be there in every season. Be willing to go through tough times. Because Galatians 9, 6 verse 9 says, and let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we will reap. Come on, in due season we will reap. But there's a last part. It says, if we do not give up. If we do not give up. And willingness remains. Can I tell you that? Willingness remains. Tell your neighbor that. Willingness. And this is how, this is the picture I got from the life of Joseph when his father said, go take food for your brothers. Remember, him and his brothers them already had a fight before because he told on them. Right? When he brought the bad report, and then he had dreams and all of these things. So they didn't like Joseph. But watch here. This scripture came to mind. Philippians 2, 14 to 15 says, do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Now, Joseph was living in a crooked time. He was living among his own family that hated him. But yet, he was willing in spite of. Willing, it's not going to always be comfortable, church. Life is not always pleasant. Sometimes in your own home, life is not pleasant. But what are you going to do? You're going to give up? No. The Bible says, keep going without grumbling, without questioning. Just do what you got to do. Because servants are willing people. Amen? And when we do this, our light shines. The last part of that verse is, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Always remember this. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. If we turn the light off in this place, it is dark. If you don't cook with salt, your food don't taste right. I guess you guys don't like salt. I like salt. Listen, when I go by my mom's house, I ask her for the salt bottle. Because my mom is much older, and she cook with less salt. So you should see Sister Cher especially, she goes for the salt bottle right away, putting it on the curry. Yeah, because the food needs some salt. It's the same way we as children of God, as servants of God, we ought to be the salt of the earth. And how can we stand out if we're unwilling just like the world? If we're reluctant just as the world. If when your boss asks you to do something as work, at work, you're carrying a bitter demeanor. No, being bitter does not speak of being willing. Having resentment, having a grudging spirit every time, it is not reflective of our Heavenly Father. Because what? When Jesus, he came down, he went down and he washed the feet of his disciples. And he said, I'm going to wash feet so that you're going to know what to do. Amen? Another thing that servants, another quality of a servant is kindness. We all love when people are kind to us. When I hear of the word kindness, it tells me of extending myself beyond my comfort zone. Extending yourself beyond your comfort zone. We have to be kind. And you see kindness in the life of Joseph even when his brothers were bitter towards him. Even when their hearts were hard towards him, he was still kind. He still extended himself. He said, I know these guys don't really like me, but daddy, if you want me to do it, it's just like Jesus. Jesus said, Lord, the cross is hard. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he says, oh, my father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But he said, nevertheless, Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And that was God showing his kindness towards us. Amen. Galatians 5:13 says, for you were called to freedom. Brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. We have to be servants, church, and it takes kindness. When you come to the church, imagine the usher goes, what are you doing here? Why are you here again? You know we don't like you in this church. No, but when you come through the door, they're kind. They welcome you. They walk you to a seat. If you have something in your hands, they might help you take it. If you're carrying multiple bags with a baby, guess what they're going to do? They're going to take your bag, and they're going to help carry your burdens. Amen? Ephesians 2:7 says, in order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Our Heavenly Father is kind. He is kind. Because when we were lost, when we were without a Savior, when we were on our way to hell, he extended kindness to us. And he said, I'm going to let Jesus die on the cross, and he's going to pay for your sin. That in the ages to come, that as you are going through life, you're going to constantly experience my kindness. You understand that? He laid the foundation for kindness to flow through Jesus Christ. In the ages to come, as we continue to live, we're going to experience the goodness of God. That is God's kindness. So we have to be a kind church. Wherever you go, express kindness, stretch yourself. And sometimes it's uncomfortable, but you have to do it. Amen? God demands it of us. Every day we pray, we're like, Lord, make me more like you. Isn't that true? So Jesus was kind. The Bible said wherever he went doing good. Wherever he went doing good. Whenever people were oppressed, what he did? He extended himself and he lifted up their burdens. We have to be the same way. Look at Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness. We're Spirit-filled people, right? Yeah. We're a Spirit-filled church. We shabak, we run, we dance, but yet we're bitter. Yet our faces can look so heavy. Yet we look sour. You know, like when we got baptized, they had lemon juice in the pool. And they dip you, and you had, some of us had a triple dip, you know? You know, you go to yeah, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. No, but we have to be servants, have to be kind, because if you're not kind, you know, kindness brings opportunity for you to speak about Jesus. Kindness brings people towards you. Kindness is a magnet. It draws people to you. You want to know why you don't got no friends? Nobody likes me. Everybody I meet always trying to stay away from me. Why? You got the answer. Right. People like kind people. If we're a kind church, more people will come to the church. We won't have no space for people. What do we think? It's only Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and fire falling from the sky? No! Sometimes we get also what we call super spiritual, that we forget that the Holy Spirit said we must be kind, one to another, tender-hearted. Yeah? Yeah. These are the things, these are the qualities of a servant of God. We have to be kind, church. If you want to be promoted, you have to be kind. God demands it of us. God expects us to be tender-hearted. God expects us to prefer our brothers before us. That's kindness. Preferring someone over yourself. Amen? Give of yourself. Give of your time. Be kind with your time. Be kind with your finances. And don't only wait. You know what refreshing someone is? It's not waiting till they're down to bless them. Sometimes we always wait for people to be broke and in a bad place, then give them something. No, the Bible never said that. That is not being tender-hearted. That is seeing a need and you're trying to fill it. Right? But we have to be caring. We have to be kind. Just give someone something. You know, last week we made a challenge, or 2 weeks ago, that just go out and give to someone. Anyone did it this week? All right, we have 1, 2, 3. Yes, let's just go out and be kind. Let's give, because the measure you give is the measure it will be returned unto you. Amen? We got to obey the word of God. We got to be obedient students of the word. We have, just like Jesus was sacrificial, God was so kind to us that he took the treasure of heaven. He took the treasure of heaven, which is Jesus Christ, and he sent him down to earth. Now, Jesus himself was so kind to us that he even gave into the plan. And he said, okay, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Do you know how much power Jesus lost when he became man? He was accustomed to be an omnipresent minister. Jesus could have been anywhere, everywhere. Imagine I'm being stripped of that kind of power. I'd probably be like, nah, that's not a good idea. But because of his great love and the great heart that he has towards us and his kindness that he wanted to show to us, because he wanted the kindness of God to be revealed to us as we live, for it to be unfold. First we receive salvation, but then we live in the goodness of God. Then we live in the provision of God. Then we constantly enjoy the peace of God. We have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. All this is kindness of God. So Jesus had to give it all up. All up. Give up the throne in heaven and come and be born in a manger. Think of that. Think if Queen Elizabeth all of a sudden decide to come and live in the South Bronx. Think of that. She said, you know what? Someone of the, like Prince Harry, you know? Well, that's a different story. But someone says, you know, Queen, I think you should really go and live in the Bronx. And all of a sudden she says, yes. And then you're walking around and you're going to the Chinese store and you see the Queen Elizabeth walking with her nice cane. You know how she walks all gentle and everything, all dressed up and beautiful. I don't think she's going to do it. No. Because number one, she probably feels entitled. And some of us just go around feeling entitled. That everybody must be kind to us. But we know, no, not me. Nobody gives me nothing. Nobody this, nobody that, nobody that. You ever heard people like that? Yeah. When last you thought about giving something to someone? When last you thought of extending yourself where it hurts? You know, sometimes God calls us and God says, give, give, and you don't even know how you're going to pay the bills. You probably got this money. You're like, you know what? I'm going to use this $1,000 and I'm going to go book my vacation or something. And then God says, no. Trust me with it. Every time God says give, it's him asking you to trust him. And then we said, no, God, I can't do that. I promised my kids a vacation. But I want to tell you, the measure you give is the measure you return. Give kindness, you're going to receive kindness. If you give money, you're going to get money. Now, there are rich people that are not kind. Can I tell you that? Because maybe they give money and they get money. They invest money, money comes back to them. Now, they did not invest kindness. Most times, kindness don't come back to them. You know, there's some very wealthy people and nobody likes because of their attitude, right? True? Amen. Church, say amen, please. Amen. Right. Yeah, it's true. So, Ephesians 4, verse 2 says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, forbearing one another in love. Amen? We have to extend ourselves beyond our own limitations. Maybe you have a problem with being willing and being kind. I want to tell you today, ask God to help you extend in those areas. Say, God, I want to be more willing. I want to jump on opportunities. You know, sometimes because we're so boxed in our minds, opportunities come our way and we don't take it. And because we want to read all the fine prints. Huh. Anyone ever try listening to the guy that reads the disclaimer on the TV or the radio? After the commercial that says, you know, this pill is good for this and good for that, all of a sudden there's a guy that comes on after they tell you all is good, and he says, this pill may call you. And that's all the bad things. No, let's not read into all the negative things. Sometimes we spend so much time seeing what the bad part is, and we're missing all the good. Don't miss the good today. Be willing. Be obedient. Let us go out. Let's eat the good of the land. Have an attitude of a servant. Be open. Be ready. Be willing. You know, and say, God, I'm going to be kind. Nobody was kind to me, but I'm going to be kind to someone. Just like the Lord. Nobody was really kind to Jesus as much. There was a few people, few instances. When you read the Bible, you see every time Jesus went somewhere, the Pharisees were there, the Sadducees were there, the scribes were there, critiquing him, messing with his message, trying to interrupt. Listen, that's part of life. But even in all of that, we have to choose now. Choose. Choice is what God give to us. You know, we could say, you know what? Why didn't God just wipe out sin? Why didn't God start all over again after Adam and Eve messed up? You know, anyone ever thought of that? Yeah. Why didn't he just save us from all these troubles that we're currently having? But choice. Choice remains. God did not take our will away from us. He gave us our will. So we now have the opportunity, as servants of God, we can choose to be willing. We can choose to be kind. We can choose to be optimistic, or we can be a pessimist all through life. Even in our serving. So I want you, church, I want to challenge you. Let's be like Joseph. In spite of. We got to have that in spite of mindset. Have that mindset in every area of life. You're going to school, even if your friends are rude and nasty to you, you choose kindness. Even if they don't want to extend and help you, you'll be willing to help. Because what? That is what God expects of us. We don't live to please God. The Bible says, whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord. Everything that we do, we bless someone with a meal, give it to them unto the Lord. Because that person may turn back and be unthankful. But guess what? God sees. God knows. And who rewards? God rewards. Amen? So Jesus in the book of John here, we see that he washed his disciples' feet. And what an act of servanthood. What an act of servanthood. Sometimes nobody wants to touch people's feet. I really do not grudge the people who work at the pedicure place. They really got to have some stamina. When you talk about stamina, those people need stamina. Because I know some people's toenails and they don't look very nice. Anyone ever stared at toes? Just take a moment and look at toes. When you go home, stare at your own toes. It might freak you out. Yeah, but it's not pleasant. But yet Jesus went and washed feet. Washing hands is okay. Because hands get washed all the time. Feet are sweaty. If you're wearing a sandals, dust on it. And most time in the time of Christ, everyone wore sandals. Right? And just imagine Jesus going down, the King of Glory, taking time off to wash feet. But you know what Jesus said in that verse? Verse 14, he says, you also ought to wash one another's feet. We can spiritualize it, you know, and we can say, oh, look at this revelation the Lord has given me here. Your feet can be giving someone a meal. Your feet can be this, your feet can be that. But no, he said, no, I'm washing feet. You also are to wash feet. So this morning we're going to wash some feet. Can we have some water? And we're going to be obedient to the word of God. Any volunteers want to wash feet this morning? You know who put their hands up first? The kids put their hands up first. The adults had to process it and think about it. And whose feet is pastor going to give me to wash? Don't worry, I'll bring these feet to you. Don't worry. Why are you guys laughing? Right? No. So, we're going to wash feet this morning. Amen? You can come. Whoever put their hands up, come to the front. All right, I'll just take 4 volunteers. Come, Gabby. Gabby's in the back. She wouldn't stop waving. We're going to take her. All right, good. And all right, that's enough. Come, Tio. Tio's walking out. So, man, what's with this family? These are sisters. This is our sister Pam's daughter. I'm telling you. All right, so we're going to do this morning. Amen? We're going to wash feet because the Lord commanded us to wash feet. Amen. So now, this is the rules. I'm going to wash the feet and you guys are going to dry the feet. Is that okay?
Problem.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to wash, right? All right, guys, I can't wash your feet with your shoes on. All right, can we have a song in the background? Just put on a nice song there. In the meantime, right? You know that Alabaster song? Right? Let's look it up. Remember the woman? And there are few instances in the Word of God where we saw Jesus being served. And one of them is when the woman came with her alabaster box and she washed his feet with perfume. This is just water. Next time you think of washing someone's feet, go buy an expense. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, that was one. And then Martha. You know, a lot of time we despise Martha. But when Jesus showed up at the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, she was willing to make him a meal. She didn't wait for Jesus to say, "I am hungry." But in the midst, what got mixed up is that she started fighting with Mary of not coming to help her. When we are doing something, we're not going to always have someone to help us. And we can't give up on what we're doing. Do what you do best.
All right.
Mute that thing, Emma. Yeah. Do what you do best. And don't do it complaining. Don't complain. Amen? Praise God. We're going to wash feet this morning. Amen. You could put it on now. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You know, we have to be servants. The Lord said, do these things. We just got to do it. Amen. Don't question everything. Just do. If you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Amen. God has a great plan for us. God has it figured out. The plans I have towards you are good and not evil. So guess what we got to do? Just do what God wants us to do and do everything unto him for his honor and for his glory.